Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaveryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastama Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so we continue with the chapter 9. And then we were talking about the Tirag in Kantimala, and there is a little bit more. A similar statement is in the Skanda Purana, which says, persons who are decorated with tilak or gopi chandan and who mark their bodies all over with the holy names of the Lord and on whose necks and breasts are the tulsi beads are never approached by the Yamadutas. Now, should we accept flower garlands? For any person who simply follows these rules and regulations of decorating the body with the marks of tilak or gopi chandan or sandalwood pulp, and who puts on the garlands which were offered to Krishna, there is no question of being conquered by the spell of material energy. At the time of death, there is no question of such a person being called by the constables of Yamaraj. Even if one does not accept all the Vaishnava principles, but still takes the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna or Krishna Prasad, he will gradually become qualified to raise to the platform of a Vaishnava. So if somebody, even unconsciously, just takes Prasad or honors, put some garland or some flower offered to Krishna, then gradually the person becomes a Vaishnava. Now, that means that gradually he will develop a taste for Krishna Prasad. So, as we saw, Shahadas Thakur, he mentions ones who chants the holy name once, right? He is a Vaishnava. But that does not still mean that he develops a taste for serving the Lord. Now by honoring the Krishna Prasad in the form of something to eat or garland, flower, piece of cloth, then gradually one develops the taste for serving the Lord. So that's why it's so important. Yes?
And it seems like some of us are very strongly refuse sometimes, for example, flower garlands. I've seen it amongst myself and some contemporaries. And what's the reason for that? Is it okay?
To refuse?
Yeah.
Why? It's being offered. Why refuse? It's opportunity. You can do service. Service by accepting the prasad. It's your service. No. So, unless there is, no, I'm not qualified. No. And then this, what service is this? No, so, if there is opportunity to wear a garland or to smell flowers offered to the Lord, then we should perform. It's a service. Same like eating. When there's no opportunity for eating prasad, we should honor at least. No. You see the Indian people when they distribute prasad, they are not expecting a huge amount of prasad. Many times, no, you just give a crumbles and then they are very happy. Because they know what prasad is. So, and they honor it. So it's part of the culture. So similar with other items. You go to Jagannath Puri and then everybody gets a piece of cloth of Jagannath's cloth. And they are very happy with that. So that means to honor. And that way then the taste for service develops.
So then, for example, I've been in the position where I've seen devotees receive a flower from the deities or from Prabhupada, and then they touch it to their head, and I ask, why don't you smell it? Oh, he goes, I'm not supposed to enjoy it. So my question is, what is my position? I mean, how do I act? I mean, because I feel the instinct to tell him, look, but honoring his service. So is that okay on my behalf, or what is, how should I act in that position?
Depends on your position. So if somebody, senior, you may ask, why is it like that? If he's willing to explain, and it clears your doubt, then it's a good explanation. But if it doesn't and it's not your position to correct him, then what can you do? You may say your doubt, right? But if he is not willing to clarify it, if he is not willing to talk about it, then just what can you do? There's no, if you don't have the influence, you don't have the relationship, or you don't have the authority, then what can you do? You can humbly ask, what is the reason that one doesn't smell the flower? But somebody doesn't want to discuss, and then you don't have the authority, then what can you do? Then you follow from whatever you know. And if you don't know, and you didn't get the answer from that person, then keep asking. What's the reason? Don't just like blindly follow. That's why education is important. Yeah. Why should we dance in front of the Lord? In the Dvaraka Mahatmya, it is stated by Lord Krishna as follows. A person who is in jubilant spirit, who feels profound devotional ecstasy while dancing before me, and who manifests different features of bodily expression, can burn away all the accumulated sinful reactions he has stocked up for many, many thousands of years. So, same like singing, dancing from the Lord, then purifies. So it doesn't matter, somebody may have a different kind of dance, so still it's not up to us to really criticize, unless like he obstructs the other devotees in dancing. But somebody just dance, not just the, that's the, just two steps. Somebody just, goes for it, and in kirtan, it's all very nice. Yes.
About this Swami's death and going for it, are there any guidelines as to how much you're supposed to go for it? Or is it just free for all?
Well, it should be within the the limits. If everybody dance and everybody is fully engaged in kirtan, and then you make line and you go throughout the whole room, it's everybody is participating, then it's nice. It's for the pleasure of the Lord. Now, if we do something which should attract attention of others on what we are doing, then we are diverting from the principle of it's for the Lord's pleasure. So we start some breakdance there and all this. So then it's quite obvious that we are just showing off.
Yeah. And I've seen devotees who kind of almost look like they forget the deities are there. Yeah.
So that's not really very nice. There are the Devidasis, right? The dancers dancing for Jagannath, for example. But that would be all inside, no? There will be no other public. It's just the deity. So that's a different thing. But in kirtan, it's for Krishna's pleasure. So then, what we can do together, to please the Lord. Not that I'm better than anybody else and everybody look at me. And that's not really the ideal. What is the importance of bowing down in front of the deity? In the Naradiya Purana, there is a statement about bowing down and offering respects to the deity. It is said there, a person who has performed a great ritualistic sacrifice and a person who has simply offered his respectful obeisances by bowing down before the Lord cannot be held as equals. That means that ritualistic sacrifice does not equal to even once bowing down in front of the deity. There was some story in Puranas. There was some person, not a Vaishnava. It was a person, and I think he was also not very pious. And then one day he was wandering, and he came to some cave. And then it was dark, so he had some lamp. Okay, so just he lit the lamp to have little light. It was very dark. So he was wandering around a little bit the cave, and then he just lie down, went to sleep. And the night he died. Now, and as he died, then the Yamadutas were there, have to take him. And then the Vishnudas came and said, no. We are not going to take him. He's ours. And then again, the fight kind of like, what do you mean? No, he was sinful. No, he is going to, supposed to suffer for his sins. He said, no. He came here, and then that's a Nrisimhadev's cave. He lit lamp for Nrisimhadev. He went around Nrisimhadev, and he paid dandavas to Nrisimhadev. So, he was in ignorance. He didn't know anything was happening. But he did it No, unconsciously. And that was his ticket to go to Vaikuntha. So that's the power of the Lord, what he can do. So what to speak about those who consciously pay obeisances to the deities, who consciously light the lamps for the deity, who go around the deity. No. So the Lord has unlimited mercy for those who are not going to object the mercy. That's also very important. So like Bharat Maharaj, right? He, no, very advanced devotee. But at the time when he was leaving, then his thought was not on Krishna, but on a deer. So he got born as a deer. So what is the last thought? That's what going to determine our destination. That's why the whole process of, not the whole life, the process of devotional service is to be prepared for the last moment. So all these arguments that, well, why don't we enjoy now, and then once we are old and start practicing devotional service, first of all, we don't know when we are going to leave. And second, it's a habit which we may not know what the last thought in the mind will be. And if the anartha is still in the heart and the thought will be disturbing, we do get distracted. But if even any thought may come into the mind, anartha is already out. There's no anartha which matches the thought, and we are not affected at all. We can constantly think of Krishna. So it's our choice. And then like in his case, or say Ajamil's case, then Lord shows his great mercy. But then, why do we not think that we will also get the same mercy? It's possible, but it's unlikely. Unless we do something for it.
Yeah, anyways, enjoying isn't really enjoying anyway, so we might as well just surrender right away.
Yeah. Yeah. Why should we stand up to receive the Lord? In the Brahmananda Purana it is said, a person who sees the Lord's Ratayatra car festival and then stands up to receive the Lord can purge all kinds of sinful results from his body. That you mentioned, no? It was for respect, no? A senior person comes, or not deity, anybody. So, when we respect the Lord, respect the person, so then that purifies. And if we don't, then the subtle body anyway does. But then the subtle body leaves the gross body even for a moment. It weakens us. So then makes us weaker. So then we should also respect a senior person or respect the Lord by standing up. That's the reason. Why should we follow procession with a deity? In the Bhavishya Purana, it is said, even if born of a lowly family, a person who follows the Ratayatra cart when the deities pass in front of or from behind will surely be elevated to the position of achieving equal opulence with Vishnu. also not bad. Just by following. So here we have, you know, procession with the deities. So these are all opportunities which we can take, and well, if we cannot understand that we follow the deity to please Krishna, which this is actually the topmost, that's the best. We serve the Lord because we want to please Him. No. We stand up because we are pleased that Lord is coming. Same like, you know, a child may be coming, so the mother just wants to see him. She wouldn't be, you know, sitting there. So because she loves the child, she would go ahead. Then that's the real reason. But if we cannot understand this reason, so at least then we should know how it benefits us. So again, it's the principle of always remembering. And if not, then at least not forgetting by doing something even for us, but the result we connect to the Lord. So, and it's Ratha Yatra, no, Srila Prabhupada in the temple, every darshan, darshanarati for Guru Puja, same thing. So any opportunity we see that we can serve in that capacity, we should. Should we circumambulate the temple of Vishnu? It is said in the Haribhakti Shudodaya, a person who is circumambulating the deity of Vishnu can contract the circumambulation of repeated birth and death in this material world. The conditioned soul is circumambulating through repeated birth and death on account of his material existence, and this can be contracted simply by circumambulating the deity in the temple. It's a very nicely said. We are constantly going the repeated birth and death. So now to stop that, we can just go around the deities and then we'll stop the eternal circle. Yes.
What is the mood, the intention behind circumambulating the deities? How do we consider that that is pleasurable for Krishna? What is our mood?
Mm-hmm. The mood is by circumambulating, then we are actually, it's again, it's a respect. So what now what we can do is that it's our seva. We can take it as a service to the Lord. So seeing, being like Govardhan. See, no. So then you have Giriraj, and then by going around Govardhan, then you are paying your respects. So therefore, parikrama. Yes?
Could you say that whatever you are circumambulating, that's in the center? If you're walking around temple or deity, that means the temple, that you're putting the deity or the temple in the center.
Yes, that's the meaning of parikrama. You go around Vrindavan, so Vrindavan is in the center. We keep always on the right side. So it can be small, it can be just circumambulating, a small Tulsi or a small deity. It can be whole Brajamandala. But the mood is that we are doing as a service. We want to associate with the Lord. We want to associate with the devotees. So This is one way how we can establish a relationship. Why do we worship the Lord? By executing this process, one confirms himself not to be not the body, but the spirit soul. In the 10th canto, 81st chapter, verse 19 of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is told how Sudama, an intimate friend of Krishna's, while going to the house of Brahmana, murmured to himself, "Simply by worshipping Krishna, one can easily achieve all the results of heavenly opulence, liberation, supremacy over the planetary systems of the universe, all the opulences of this material world, and the mystic power of performing the yoga system." So again, it's by worship of the Lord, then we can gain everything, whatever is there to gain. So, what Srila Prabhupada, no, he gave us the process following that, worshipping the deity, no, just it's perfect opportunity. And worshipping deity does not mean that we have to get our own deity, no, to worship. It means also going to the temple for the arati and then be part of the arati. That's also a worship. So we don't have to, no, endeavor to become the pujari, to actually, no, really worship the deity. No. You can just go for the program and no, sing while the arati is going on. We are part of the puja. How can we render service to the Lord? It is stated in Vishnu Rahasya. Any person who can arrange for service to the Lord in the same way that the king is given service by his attendants is surely elevated to the abode of Krishna after death. In the Narada Purana it is stated, if person stays in the Lord's temple even for a few moments, he can surely achieve the transcendental kingdom of God. So, there are so many ways how service can be rendered. Not just by staying in the temple, no, you're rendering service, taking prasad. Then we can go distribute books, we can sing in the temple, we can cook for the Lord, we can cook for the devotees. No, anything. We can listen to Krishna Katha. Any of these, no, is a service. So we can render service to Krishna, unlimited ways. It's just up to us how much we want to. Should we sing for the deities? In the Linga Purana, there is a statement about glorifying and singing about the Lord. It is said there, a Brahmana who is constantly engaged in singing the glories of the Lord is surely elevated to the same planet as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna appreciates this singing even more than the prayers offered by Lord Shiva. So there are many acharyas, many poets, they composed many songs about Krishna. So we can, if we are qualified, then we can even compose our own songs or then sing their songs. And in fact, just singing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it's very pleasing to the Lord. So we don't have to worry about doing something else. We can just sing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So then this is exactly the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Then Harinam, Sankirtan. So, that's for this age, this is the best way how we can render our service. So it's by singing, and as Lord Krishna appreciates singing about and singing the holy names more than the very much elevated prayers of Lord Shiva. So we should take this seriously. Then why do we perform Sankirtana? When a person loudly chants the glories of Lord's activities, qualities, form, etc., his chanting is called Sankirtana. Sankirtana also refers to the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a person who chants the holy name of Krishna once can counteract the resultant actions of more sinful activities than he is able to perform. So But if he is not willing to get rid of the desire to perform more sinful activities, then they will accumulate again. But the holy name can remove that all. The chanting of the holy name can purify the whole universe. So that's now the potency is really unlimited. What is japa? Chanting a mantra or hymn softly and slowly is called japa. And chanting the same mantra loudly is called kirtana. When japa is practiced, it is for the personal benefit of the chanter. But when kirtana is performed, it is for the benefit of all others who may hear it. Yes?
Isn't there kind of a gray area here in terms of the ten offenses when it says it's for the personal benefit of the chanter? Isn't that close to karma kanda?
Well, depends what benefit is he looking for. See, karma kind of person will look for material benefit.
Okay.
A devotee who chants japa, so then his personal benefit, as Prabhupada calls, then it's that he will understand what his original position. So then his personal benefit will be that he will be purified and he will be able to render service unto the Lord.
So,
well, not to forget the Lord, we are performing, basically fruitive results.
Yeah.
We are looking for activities to satisfy us. But out of duty or advice, somebody tells us that, or we know that the fruits actually we should offer to the Lord. But we still may think that I'm the doer because I created the fruits. But now since I have it, so anyway, just give it to the Lord. So it is devotional service, but at the same time, it is not as high. It's not ideal. So japa, now you define, you see, you chant japa, and even actually in Hari Bhakti Vilas, they say that japa which is chanted loudly, it's okay. Now, japa, which is chanted softly, it's better. And japa, which is chanted in the mind, is the best. Because, no, when you chant loudly, okay, so you connect the senses, so you hear it, so you are performing. Or it can be even kirtan. Now, when you are chanting japa in your mind, then it is said that you are with Krishna.
We are also told that we should chant.
Yes, because we cannot really chant in mind and not be engaged in other mental activities. So it's for those devotees who are on the platform that they can chant in mind, and they are actually chanting in mind. Most of the devotees probably, when they say they chant in the mind, it's they do anything else but chanting. So therefore, it is danger. But nonetheless, according to Hare Bhaktivinoda, it is highest if it's done properly. But who can check it? That's the problem. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada didn't even bother with that. And he just described, you chant japa loudly, so you can hear yourself. Others can hear you, so if you do something wrong, then they can correct it. If you are falling asleep, you stop chanting, then not somebody can wake you up.
Prabhupada chanted loudly too.
Yes. But if Prabhupada, we didn't see the Prabhupada in a beatback and or he was apparently externally not doing anything. No, indeed he was chanting in his mind.
Yeah. I remember Padmalachan Prabhu said in the class that chanting in the mind helps one to remember Krishna while one is sleeping.
I try to do that when I'm lying down to take rest. Just keep the mantra going in my mind as long as I can.
There's no limits. There is no any rule or any regulation on when and how you can chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There are rules and regulations for the Vedic mantras, but not for the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, not for the Pancharatrik mantras. So even in the bathroom, one can chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There is no any limit to that. Again, this is the mercy of the Lord. This is the power of the Lord. Because if it's the Vedic mantra, so the personality of the mantra may get offended. Impure place, impure mind. No, it can be just. Not the ideal circumstances, the personality behind the mantra may get offended. And then the results will be the opposite which you are looking for. But Krishna takes anything. He uses any even slightest effort of the person who is trying to do something such a way so that he actually benefits. How can we submit ourselves to the Lord? In the Skanda Purana, there is a statement about submission under the lotus feet of the Lord. It is stated that those who are sober devotees can offer their submission to Krishna in the following three ways. So, first one is samprarthanatmika, very feeling offering prayers. The second one, dainyavodika, humbly submitting oneself. And the third one, lala samayi, desiring some perfectional stage connected to the realization of his perfectional stage. So, okay. In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord due to the realization of this perfectional stage. one should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called laulyam, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection. If one develops this laulyam, or excessive eagerness for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way, that is the price to enter into the kingdom of God.
So, you see, at certain stage, when the devotees develop the affection, the attraction and the affection for the Lord, then there is a certain type of greed which also develops. So we may consider now such devotee as very selfish, greedy. But what is the greed? Externally, it may look very much as a common greed. But actually, that greed is so then the devotee can enter the service to the Lord. So then the Lord gets pleased. So it is very much depending on what is the angle, how we approach the activity. Because the activities, any activity, can be approached for our benefit or for somebody else's benefit. Devotional service may look very mundane. Devotees now running around and distributing books. So what? Anybody else can go and distribute some books. But devotees, what do they use the money for? And even if they use seemingly just mundane ways to maintain their families, why do they maintain their families? How do they maintain their families? So we may criticize, we may not think whatever we want, but it does not really matter. The devotional service is so powerful that if we have our own opinion, it doesn't really affect the service at all. So we should rather than try to criticize or try to have our own opinion, we should figure out ourselves what is the real thing. Why is it like that? What am I doing? What should I do? And then engage properly in such activities. So if one needs some money for maintenance, okay, so then how can you maintain yourself? So it will be probably better if you go for, say, some book distribution or something which keeps you Krishna conscious, rather than just go to some place where you will be among karmis the whole day and you can't really concentrate on your devotional service, but you just get just to get your money. Then one has to consider which one, what is the best way, how can one keep himself Krishna conscious. Because if the service one is doing and cannot keep himself Krishna conscious, so it may not be the ideal service to do. So we should consider all these things. Because we perform service to please Krishna. Now, if the service is going to take us away from Krishna, then what is the use? The service should develop that desire, and in fact even the greed. Yes, I want to do it. I want to make it. I want to make sure that Krishna gets not the most. He gets everything. So in that mood, then we can actually develop the proper attraction. We develop the affection for the Lord, and we will be able to surrender. to the Lord. Yes.
These three ways that is mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Is it three forms of prayer?
This is how we can submit ourselves. So, no, the first one is then very emotional, like a feeling. No, feeling way that one can perform. But that will naturally lead to the next stage. That by that, then we fully submit ourselves.
What do you mean by saying submit?
Means by giving. Okay, you are going to very emotionally recite some prayers. Now, if you really mean it, then you will actually feel that they are like prayers. Then you will feel the submission. You will feel that you actually are serving the Lord right now. So then you will understand Krishna being the master, you being the servant. And the result of that will be that you may even cry. To desire, no, perfection of the perfection. That's what, no, we said about, that's the greed. So then, surrendering, submit oneself to the Lord. Then, what do we want now? Okay, I am the servant of the Lord. Okay, He is my master. Now, I want everything, what I can do, to do for the Lord. So now everything which I perform must be the best. I would like to do the best. I want to cook the best. I want to sing the best. I want to do everything the best. Just become perfect. And then, now, who is the expert? Who is the best in everything? There's one devotee. Real devotee of the Lord. That's Srimati Radharani. Now everybody else, they have all the gopis. Now, every gopi has some perfection in some activity. Srimati Radharani is all. She is perfect in everything. And everybody else, all the other devotees, they assist. But they're assisting even though they may not be perfect. But because they are assisting those devotees who are assisting the other devotees who assist Srimati Radharani, they become part of the perfection. So this gives the same satisfaction as doing it ourselves. See, that's the problem which we are having now here in the material world because of we are conditioned. We think that until and unless we do something ourselves and fully, then it's not the real thing. And assisting somebody, who may perform the activity perfectly, we don't consider as so great. But you see, even some places, some do consider. Say, football, right? It's a teamwork. So,
there are those who protect and there are those who attack. Now when they get the balls and then they have to coordinate among each other, so then the person in the front can give the goal. So there are those who assist him to give the goal. They don't claim. They don't need to, no, if he thinks, okay, I can do it myself, he takes the ball, he goes, most likely he fails. But he sees, okay, no, he is empty there, so he gives him the ball, and he goes, and he gives the goal. So then, okay, he is praised, he gave the goal. But there were those who were assisting him. Because of the teamwork, then they can win. The same way, it's how to please Krishna. It's a big teamwork. Srimati Radharani, she is the one who can please him. Everybody else is assisting her as a team of devotees in whatever activities it can be done. And we practice it here. Our guru, he knows what should be done. So then he does his activities. And then what do we do? Just assist him. So then he has more time to perform the activities which he knows are the best. And anything else which we can assist, washing clothes, not doing massage or anything like that, we do. Because then that will give him time more for other, know what he needs to do. Because what he does benefits also us. But if we think, okay, no, let him do, I'll do myself, and then we may end up, Gaudiya Math, right? They are very scattered. There's no really force together. They all have divided, and therefore the power is diverse. And Srila Prabhupada did not want that. So therefore, he urged very much devotees, cooperate with each other. So that will be the most pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. If we can cooperate, find the ways how we can assist those devotees who know what to do. But for that, we have to maybe lower our false ego, thinking that, anyway, they are not good, I'm better than them. Maybe, but maybe not. And what is the best way how to find out? Assist those who know what to do. You learn from them. And once you are sure that you can do it on your own, okay, then you can do. But again, it becomes by the principle of if you can follow, then you can lead. That's why we are society. That's why education is the best when it's done in group. That's why schools. Education is much more difficult at home. For the very same reason. Yeah? You heard something?
Also, it was not Srila Prabhupada. He said that the chanting of japa should be in mood very much like in separation. If we can develop the mood of that we are chanting in actually in distress because feel separated from the Lord, then it will be easier to realize our position. It will be also easier to refocus and to understand Krishna's position. So the mood is very important. And the devotee, now he never thinks that he is perfect. So the devotee, even though he may be perfect, but his realization is such that he can offer the perfection to the Lord, but there is always somebody more perfect than him. So he may desire to become not like the devotee. Maybe even better than the devotee. To serve. So that's the desire. But then why does a devotee wants to be perfect? Not for his own benefit. His benefit is that Lord gets the benefit and the devotees get the benefit.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.